Next case is 98-2216, Lake County Bar Association versus District of Smith Jr.
The merits of the case in your response to the disciplinary panel, you know, you set forth that, you know, your client may not have had any legitimate avenue of redress. But it seemed to me that the gravamen of the problem here is that what you admit that you didn't communicate with your client all that well. You admit that in your letter. That seems to be the primary reason that we see complaints, we see discipline, is not communicating with clients. But what is here even more is the failure to be, it appears you weren't honest with your client, that you met with him and didn't tell him about this. Maybe you considered it, maybe you can explain that. Didn't tell him about the dismissal. And the other thing that I read that's a matter of concern is this: his trying to reach you 7 or 8 or six or five, seven times without response. The penalty that they suggest is that it's all suspended. We don't know you, Mr. Smith, but we know that lawyers who don't call back their clients and who don't tell them what's going on in their cases tend to come back here another time. And this suggests that if you get some mentoring and some CLE on those sort of practices, we won't ever see you again in a disciplinary matter.
I would certainly wouldn't dispute the fact that I failed to tell clients the matter was dismissed. And in all candor, I would not have a problem with the sanction recommended by the board. The only reason I filed a objection to the recommendation was out of concern that if I did not state my side of the case for this court, that the court may
enhance,
feel that I was mm-hmm. ignoring the problem, and I am well aware the court is free to reject the recommendation of the board and impose a more severe sanction. I guess what I'm telling you is I'm here to hopefully ensure that a more severe sanction is not imposed than the one recommended by the board. And I would indicate that except for the case that I cited, I would admit that I'm unable to find any authority directly on point where a respondent engaged in the type of conduct who's engaged in by myself in this case. I'm unable to find any other case where the sanction imposed by this court was public record. I would concede that in the majority of cases that the recommendation of the sanction imposed is more closely in line with that recommended by the Board of Commissioners. But I felt it incumbent to come here and explain my actions in this case and so as not to appear to be completely in default of responding to the fact. I also admit that I did cooperate with the initial investigation filed by the Bar Association in a timely manner, sent a three-page response to the investigating attorney. I did not file an answer to the certified complaint. There's no excuse for that, obviously. I can say I was overwhelmed with work. I was in the process of buying a house. I can say any number of things, but those don't justify failure to file an answer to the complaint. Although I suggested with regard to the merits of the underlying motion, perhaps that is why the panel, without any input from myself, dismissed the counsel's complaint that related to the failure to seek lawful objections reasonably available to me and prejudicing or damaging the client. Because perhaps it was clear to them also, and I don't know this, that the motion that I had prosecuted or attempted to prosecute in Lake County Court on behalf of Mr. Bell was of questionable merit. First instance, perhaps that it never should have been filed, had it never been filed, prior to completion of parties finishing the mediation process, then we wouldn't have come to this juncture.
So your client believed that in addition to having to go down to the clerk's office to find his case had been dismissed, he was led to believe that he had a legitimate reason for you to file a motion to modify the court. That's what you represented to the client, I assume, Mr. Mel.
Mr. Chief Justice, I did indicate to Mr. Bell when we filed the first of two motions that I thought that there was an argument that could be made that this was a child support modification matter. It was clear that the child was not spending any time with his mother, and that even though the shared parenting agreement required the parties to go to mediation before litigating any issues concerning the child, that this was the type of issue that could be resolved by the court just by looking at the facts of the case. There's no need to mediate to come to the conclusion that the child not spending any time with his mother. Therefore, the father was bearing the entire brunt of child support. However, I found out when we got to court that it was made abundantly clear by the trial judge in domestic relations court that no motions were going to proceed, either my motion to modify or the motions, the several motions were filed by Mrs. Mills to her counsel, including requests for attorney fees and sanctions for violating the mediation clause of the agreement. And the case was then dismissed by agreement of all parties. It's only later, the following year, when the mediation had ground to a halt and in my mind was taking far too long. She thought it was intentional by his wife. He thought honestly that if she could make the mediation, drag the mediation process out long enough, the child would become emancipated and there'd never be any child support. There's also, on merit, she was also convinced, and it made that clear to me for the counsel, that the reason the child was spending time with her was because the child had an alienated addiction for buying Mr. Bell. So I think there was a legitimate dispute as to whether or not he was entitled to any of the time that I had a motion to file. I certainly told him he had a chance, but I also warned him that we were venturing into rather uncharted waters and that I would not guarantee certainly any outcome in the case. But yeah, I think the dismissal of the second motion may have, and I don't know this, it doesn't justify what I did, it may have prevented an order by the court of sanctions against either Mr. Bell or myself or both of us for filing a motion to improvidently prior to completion of mediation. So it's true that Mr. Bell never did get any child support in this case. And then I dismissed the second motion in early in 1995, and then I didn't consult with him before dismissing that. I thought that.
But you didn't tell him afterwards that he had dismissed too.
I told him quite a long time afterwards, after he had found out of his own. Again, there's no excuse for that. I've never attempted to excuse or ask anyone to condone that behavior. It's just wrong, it's unprofessional. I just don't think that in this matter, isolated incident, that an actual suspension of my life in practice law is warranted. I spoke with the counsel for the relator yesterday in relation to his received a letter that he gave me to raise an oral argument. I told him, I said, in all candor, I am not going down to Columbus to ask for a splash of quit. That's not my purpose. I told him I thought it was prudent for me to appear before the court to demonstrate my feeling is this is an extremely serious matter, and to ask that a sanction, whatever sanction be imposed in this case, is not more serious than the one recommended by the court. That's all I'm asking the entire report of this case.
Thank you, Mr. Smith.
Thank you.
Case is good, Lake Erie. The Bar Association, I filed a brief, so first they can honor you. Case is submitted, you'll be advised.